And as we look into God's words, we want to see what it is that He would have for us. And it's a subject that we're well aware of and that we have, I'm sure we already prospered in, but we want to see where it is that we might be able to grow. We want to be able to grow in this love that we have for our God and for one another. Now, it is a commandment. And so it's not just something as far as that we're talking about that, hey, it's something that we'd like to do. We think it would be a good thing. It's a good thing because it's a commandment of God. And we see that over in John, where he shows us in chapter 15 that it's commanded and it's a part of our relationship with Him. John chapter 15, beginning verse 9, says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, last week, Gail has shown us how it is that we're connected together. We're part of this body of Christ. We're members one of another. And we're commanded of a God to love one another. This is a commandment. And he says that as we do this, we abide in his love. And he loves us and as he abides in the Father love, and the Father loves him. And so we want to make sure as far as that we are part of this love in the greatest way that we can be by being so grateful and thankful to God for what it is that he's given us, eternal life, because he loved us. And because he loved us, and that we abide in him, we love one another. That's what shows that we abide in him, because of the love that we have one for another. And it says that if we abide in him and his love, he says that our joy will be full. Our joy will be full. And so that's one of the things that you see, that the more we love, the more joy that we're going to have. The more of this Spirit of God that we're going to be able to show, of all the fruits of the Spirit, because we love. And because we love, we seek to do the all the commandments of God and to do his will and to be found of him, the people that would glorify his name by abiding in his word. And so we want to look to that as far as our relationship to God. We want to grow in love, and it's not going to be because I say that we should. It's going to be because you recognize the need for you to abide in the love of God, and that as you relate with God and relate with God's word, that's what's going to motivate you to grow in love. That's what's going to give you the understanding to grow in love. That's what's going to cause you to step out more in the love of God, and to seek is for us to love those that love God. Now, one of the things that can hinder this type of brotherly love is prejudices on our part. And I think of an individual that I knew in the past. He had a difficult time loving people that didn't have a sense of humor. I mean, he didn't care for people. He didn't care for his brother because they didn't have a sense of humor. He didn't care for brothers sometimes if it is that they just made small talk. He wasn't interested in small talk. But we see how that, you know, that the love of God was not abiding in him, and he had to be corrected from that. And the last I heard, he had never corrected it, and he had gone astray. And so when we look to ourselves and we see that this love that we're to have for one another, it's not based on us really liking one another. Of course, we should like one another, but it's not based on that. Because we have certain things that we like about people. We're attracted to people because of certain things, certain reasons. And we make friends sometimes based upon that. But this love, this brotherly love, this loving one another has nothing to do with that. Oh, yes, we as brethren, we sometimes we are attracted because of things that we have in common. And that's fine. But I'm not going to love you, or you're not going to love me just because of that. Love is something that it does draw us one to another. Love drew me here, because I came seeking for people, and you know, I have been taught since 1983 that most of the churches that had lost the candlestick, and that they didn't believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and so they didn't have the Holy Spirit, and there was no love in those places. So as I saw a congregation, I was seeking out, you know, I'm looking for the Spirit of God in people. I'm looking for that love. I'm looking for the joy. And I was drawn to that here to that because I saw people here practicing it the first, second, third time I came. I saw it being practiced. I can remember back, and it was probably about the third time I came, and, you know, and I came in early, and our sister Jeanette just sits right over there where Sister Paulette sat. And I came in, she said, "Hello, Brother Hawkins." And you know, you can't imagine how much good that did to me, the feeling that it gave me of love. His sister loved me, and I felt accepted. Just a word. And so as we think about this love that we love one another, we want to see how it is that we might be able to put that into practice. You know, how do we love? What do we do? What's expected of us of God? And again, as I said, it's not our likes or dislikes. It has nothing to do with body type or size or the way someone talks, certain abilities that ones may have or the way they dress. It has nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with the fact that we're connected to one another in Christ. It has all to do with that. We're connected to one another. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the children of God. And I remember it being said at one time that God doesn't have any grandchildren. We are all the children of God. And so we come to God and we serve God on the basis of what it is that we're bringing forth in our lives. It's not what our parents or our grandparents did, but it's based upon what it is that we have the ability to do. With a love, and this love is to be as we find that Peter telling us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. He says, "Since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." You know, we are people that are seeking to live for God and to work at our salvation, to be right before God, to be a people that live purely, but it's a work that we have. And there are times when it is that we might recognize. There's times you might recognize in me something that, hey, well, he's not up to par. He's not what he should be. There's something in him that is not. We kind of wonder whether it is as far as that he's trying to really live right with God. You know, when we look at brethren and we look at faults, that can cause us to draw back and cause us to draw love away. But it's not to be the case. We're still to love one another. And a part of that love is helping that individual overcome whatever drawback, whatever shortcoming that they have. And love is going to cause us to pray for them. If we find that maybe there's going to be a word that we can speak to encourage them, maybe there's something as far as that we can say that might admonish them to show that there's a problem. And sometimes we may not know how to go about and do that. Well, we seek out in God's word, and we seek out to the elders that we have to see how we might be able to, if we think we need to approach someone, or what we may need to do or not do about a certain situation. But still, there's to be fervent love for them. Fervent love. Not based upon any shortcomings. Because I want to be loved by each of you. And I don't want that to be based upon what it is that I am and any qualities of myself. I want to be based upon the one fact that I'm a child of God and I'm connected. I'm a part of you. If we realize that, you know, we are connected and we're a part of one another and we have a love for one another, we want the church to be pure. And so the love that I have for you, the love that you have for me, will cause us to have the mindset that I want to live purely because I don't want to bring anything impure into the body. I don't want to affect the body in that way. I don't want to allow any of my selfishness to affect the body like Achan did. He affected the whole body, and he even caused ones to die because of his selfishness. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1, because Lord, it's something that we're going to be testing our own selves in. We're going to be looking to see how it is as far as that we are living this life and being those that are loving one another. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, they were doing very well because this letter that was written to them by the Apostle Paul, you know, he spoke this. He says chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "Remembering without ceasing your work and faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God." He remembered without ceasing their work and their labor of love. And so loving one another, there's work involved in it. Is what it is as far as that we're looking how it is that what we might do. That's 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, he said to them in the third verse, he said, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and your love of every one of you abounds toward each other." And so, this congregation, this church, this particular body of Christ had it where it is they were abounding in love one toward another. And so we look to ourselves and how are we doing? Will we say that we are abounding in love one toward another? Is it something that we really abound in? Well, I would say that yes, to a degree, but it's something that can be increased. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he also said to them, in verse 9, he says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." They abounded in love, but he was urging them to increase in it more and more. That was the first letter. Perhaps the abounding in the second time he wrote to them, he saw that there was indeed an increase. And so as there are areas that we abound, there also can be increase. And that's going to be us looking to ourselves, because I realize that this is something that I can grow in. And so I'm going to be looking to myself and see, well, where is that growth? What is it that I'm doing? Where am I growing? Where am I abounding? What can I see within myself? Because we'll be able to see it. You will be able to see it in me at some point, and I will be able to see those things in you. We see each other here very often, you know, on the first day of the week and then on Wednesday nights. And it's something I believe that we will be able to recognize in one another, the growth that's there. So what can we do? There are things that are so simple. And I think is that if we look to the examples of some of our brethren here, say for instance our elders, and I see them coming in and they're greeting everyone, they're extending that hand of fellowship, and they're looking brother in the eye, and they want to know how people are doing. And I see others doing it as well. And it's a good thing. That's our example. We see the joy that they have in doing it. It's not something as far as that they go about in their sad face and they don't really like it, but they do it anyway. They enjoy it. They have joy because they love. And that's why it is that we elected them to that position, because we saw that love for the body was there. That's the reason. And so there are examples. And all of our brethren are examples. As we watch them and we see what they do and the acts that they have in their life and how they reach out to brethren in love, and that's something as far as we can, there it is, we can follow. And as we see that they abound in love, then we can come along after them and we can begin to abound in love also. You know, when I first came here, because I came from congregations that I guess it just a little bit more. Well, to a degree, there was a love expressed more. I guess more outwardly. I can remember a sister that we baptized from Trinidad. She became very faithful, and she started to come to worship and classes and everything. And she would come and to Tuesday. We had a Tuesday night midweek class. She would come to that, and she would come to the evening class we have at 5 p.m. And when we get there about 15 minutes before, and she would say, her and her two girls, they would say good night. It's like 4:45 in the evening, or 6:45 in the evening, and we see them and they say good night. And I said, I'm going to ask them, you know, about that, you know, and about this good night. But they said it one time, and my daughters heard it, and they started they say good night. And they started asking, you know, what is it? It was their culture where in Trinidad, they met in the evening, they would say good night. But we say good night when we're leaving. And so I see that my culture is different here, because when we leave after worship, and I'm greeting some of the brethren, and I'm saying goodbye, but they're saying hello, and I hadn't quite gotten it yet to say hello, because I'm greeting them for the first time, but I'm not used to that. I'm used to having greeted everyone beforehand. And so when I first came, I said, well, maybe they don't greet because some of them maybe they're phobic about handshake. They're germophobic, and that may be the case. I'm not saying, and it's not like there's something that we have to do. That's just one little thing. It's only one little thing that we can do to show love for one another. It's a very small thing, and that's sometimes where we start off with small things, and we build up. And I don't have a problem with anyone having phobia, because if you knew what my phobia was, you would laugh and you would say, oh, he's supposed to be really a wimp. But yeah, when we shake hands, according to scientists, we do exchange a bound, like 3 billion of them. And so, yeah, that's a lot. And mostly they say it's good, but if you got something, and then of course we're going to keep our hands to ourselves. But that's a little thing, and I'm not saying that's something you got to do. But just like this sister from Trinidad, her culture was that you, and our children knew, you didn't walk by people without saying hello. That was my culture. I grew up in Southwest Georgia, and it was rude if you walked by someone and didn't say hello, if you came into a room and didn't say hello. So in those cultures, that was a lack of love. But it's just, I think what perhaps it could be is just that to us it's not like a lack of love. We haven't considered that just not saying hello is a lack of love. We just, that's what we've learned. I come from congregations where all the women could greeted one another with a hug and a holy kiss. That was just expected it started in California, and then it spread out to the different congregations as different ones would move, and that was just expected. And it's not a law that you got to do that, but that law of love is there. The law of love, no matter how you do it, whether you just give someone a smile, or whether you take the hand, or whether you hug them or kiss them, it's the love that's behind it. Do you have the love? Do you love one another? And that's what we got to look to. Do we love one another? Do we visit one another? Remember how Christ said in his judgment, when he's in those sheep and the goat, what did he say? When they asked, when did we do this? He says, because if you didn't do it to the least of my brother, you didn't visit them when they were sick. You didn't visit them in prison. It's a possibility some of us could end up in that situation. Or some of us could be hungry, and we feed them just those things. What are the needs that we can see that our brother may have that we could supply? And that's love. That's loving one another. And our time is up, so I'm not going to get to some of the other things that I have. But let's just look to that as far as that, how it is that we can abound more and more. We can increase in this love, because as we increase in love, we're going to increase in joy. And as something as far as we should all desire to have that joy, the joy that is given us to our God, because God has given us one another, and he's given us one another for a purpose, and that is that we show his love by loving. So we dismissed our class.
Morning, brother.